So, I want to start with the problematic knowledge, yada problematic, and the baroshe yada pratim informatia kol ha-mispare pin she'atzrich lizkor. Kedei lafil et kol dvarim ba'olam, kol ha-passwords, ha-sismaot, she'i efshar ka'av tova'oved b'li zeh, kolel ha-oto. Million dvarim pratim she'anachnu tzrichim, kedei pashut lakum b'boker v'latzet l'yom shelanu. Zeh לוקח זה מלא מילוי של כל השטח. אנחנו מרגישים איזה סוג של אובדן או slavery, עבדות, סליחה, עבדות. וזה מאוד מאוד כן בעולם של היום, של המדע, שגם בחינוך שלנו זה צד שמאלי של המוח שלנו. זה מאוד דומיננטי, הצד שמאלי. אני כבסיס שלי במדע, יש לי דוקטורט במולקולר ביולוגי, זה מאוד 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 left brain. אבל אני שנים הייתי עם מדענים, ואני ראיתי איך הם, how the scientists suffer so much from knowledge. Because I'm a scientist in my training. They have impossible relationships with their families. They are disaster getting on with each other. They are so often so miserable, egoistic, full of self. They make a discovery and they're full of ego. Having a lot of trouble because of left brain. An undeveloped heart. And really, too much knowledge, it's obvious we all know this, I don't need to go into it too much, but this slavery, the avdut, the slavery that we feel of knowledge, means the kind of knowledge of describing the world and measuring the world, and just like you said, knowledge based on what I think and what I analyze and how I can see things, details. It's very technical and it leads to a lot of misery. And it fills the space of mind, just like the story of the Zen story of the teacher that told the philosopher that came on, "You're too full of knowledge, you have no room for insight and wisdom." And indeed, if we look carefully at the pressure to know, it's based on a lot of fear. The pressure to know things is based on a lot of fear and insecurity. We need to know with this fear what will happen. So we have to work very hard to learn what will happen. What's going to happen? What I have to do to make things better tomorrow. That needs a huge amount of busyness in thinking about what I need to know to be okay in the future. To reduce uncertainty, ivadaut. We're afraid of uncertainty. We're afraid of not knowing, iidia. We feel lost if we don't know. So there's a pressure in that. And the pressure is quite a tragedy. It's a tragedia anak. Because of that, we now in a state where we are destroying the planet because we need to control nature. So that control is crazy. We need to know that there's food and more food and more food and more food. We need to know that we need to be comfortable. We need to understand nature so we control it. We fix it. We are afraid of nature because it's wild. It's unknown. So in order to, we make sure is we cut down all the forest and instead we have a desha, grass. We don't like wild. We just need grass. We need to make sure nature is quiet and far away. I was joking about this in the retreat, in the nature retreat we just had. I was joking about how people come to nature and they like the view. But very often they like the view from the window of the hotel. As long as I can have 5-star hotel and look at the view. So, and also in Klil, people say, come to Klil and say, does your house have a view? Yes, nof. And I often say, ken, anof ze po, ze kotza ze anof. This thorn is a view. It's great, look at it, it's beautiful. No, not thorns, lo kotzim. And you always say kotzim, I want hayam, sham, anof, or the sunset and the sunrise. So it's kind of controlled. And we know how painful this is for us because we actually are part of it. We're not separate from that. It's our culture. We all went to school and at the age of 5 we started counting and learning numbers and mathematics and measuring and so on. And it's from the beginning of our life we are part of that. And we know if we meditate, for example, how problematic it is all the time to be doing that in the mind. The tachnenet ha'atid. We've all got the same experience of planning mind during meditation. What I need to do tomorrow, where I have to go tomorrow. Probably you were thinking, you know, meditation, up jumped. Shall I go traveling tomorrow or today? I think I had a nice day, so I'll stay here another day in Klil. But that's the thought about planning what? Or when, oh, maybe I can move my ticket back to Germany for one day. Maybe not, maybe it's possible, maybe this, maybe that. I'm sure the meditation, every one of us the same. How do I get this better? If it's maybe I do this, maybe that, maybe this. Maybe it's better this, maybe better that. Dying. Enough. It's painful. We don't want it. Like Susanna said, we want to be able to see the moment as it really is and be free. So this sense of construction around knowledge is actually painful for us. And we pay a price. And so we need, in a way, the art of forgetting. And I would think 3 stories we've had from Vered, from you and from Susanna. Each one were a sort of forgetting. Tigal, your story is you were actually out for 3 days. Mm-hmm. But it's a kind of forgetting. So we need to know to forget. How to do that? So I want to go back to a personal story. When I was first in India in 1976, so I was hanging out with the sadhus. And the sadhus they really enjoy their chulums, that the charas, the hashish. So one of the things that the sadhus would say when they have their chulum is they would shout "Bom Bola!" You know what "Bola" means?
Yeah, I thought they were saying "Bom Bolina."
But Bola. Bola is one of the names of Shiva, and it means the forgetful one, the one that forgets.
Wow.
Bhola is forgetting.
Wow.
It's one of the names of the god Shiva. It's called forget. And bom is praise, is welcome to, as chada shemot shel Shiva ze shichacha. And praise, I forgot the word in Hebrew to praise. Lefa'er, Lashabeach, shichacha, shem shel Shiva. So I was very impressed. I was assigned to me because I was teaching students in the university. So, you know, in the morning I would go and teach biochemistry to the students, doctorantim. V'achrei tzoraim ani hayiti masadu she'omrim bola, bola, shichacha, shichacha. Lishkoch maya. Maya, to forget what? To forget maya. Maya is a hashlaya, is illusion. Maya is the dream of reality. Maya is the hamivnim she'anachnu mitlapshim ala olam, the constructions we put on the world that cannot be the world because we make constructions of it. So it cannot be the world. How can it be the world if it's in our mind that we're making a construction, a mivne, called this, called Stephen, called leaf, called bee, flower. It cannot be the reality because we make it in the mind. We have a brain that is doing that. So what's they cannot. Maya is the mind that's making constructions, and it's a dream. And bola, forgetfulness, is forgetting or letting go of the construction, which is not real, which is about the world, which we believe to be true. So this knowledge is actually, when we look at it carefully, is a huge ignorance. It's strange, but it's true. Knowledge of this kind is ignorance. They're borut. And the Dharma is very clear on this. Avidya, vidya is knowing, and it's the same word, avidya in Sanskrit, it's the same word as yeda. And avidya is not knowing, which is ignorance, borut. So, borut is not knowing, but actually knowing is a problem. So it's a fuch mimashe in the conventional view. Conventional view, the Buddhist view, shall we say, is that not knowing or forgetting is wisdom and is very precious. And vidya, knowing, is ignorance, is knowing the false, ha kozev, ha lo nachon, ha chalom, ha maya. So we need to see that and know to get out of that trap of knowledge, which is ignorance. As usual, before I give a talk, I go to Rachel and I say, I'm giving a talk on this, what does Zohar say? And she's always got beautiful things to say about the Zohar, and very spontaneous. And she said that in the Zohar there is an Aramaic word called Ashkacha. Ashkacha? ashkacha. And it means being there. Liotsham, liotsham, nimtza, mashu nimtza. Aleph. Ze ba'aramit. Aleph shin kaf hei. Kuf hei. Ashkacha, ashkach. Aleph shin kaf chet hei. Okay. And it's based on forgetting the word lishkoach. It's shachiach. It's the same word as shachiach. Ken, mamshich. But adayin, it's based on the words lishkoach. Shechacha. And it's the same word. And she said that in Aramaic, this word forgetting, and they use it in the Zohar, as you need to forget in order to be. Lishkoach kedei liot po. Liot. To forget in order to be. So in the Aramaic, in the Zohar, that's the Kabbalah, forgetting is the same, in the same root, forgetting as being. So it's important. In Zen, Zen is very rich with this. In Zen, you know, there's a famous phrase that says, little doubt, little awakening. Middle doubt, middle awakening. Great doubt, great awakening. Great doubt is doubt of knowledge. It means that we don't know the description of things anymore. Ahagdarot. Doubt is safek, but safek, safek lo ba mashu shlili, ze yoter sheila amuka. Al ma, ma ze. Kamo, sheila zen, ze ashala, sheila basisi shel zen, ze ma ze. Maze, 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 maze. You know, shaot, yomim, chodeshim, shanim, she'mistaklim amashu, maze. It's, this is doubt. Safek, safek ruchani, shall I do. To lefarek et hashlaya, shel ani yode, mashu. So it's deconstructing the world, to take down the construction, to break the construction, hamivne, to take it to pieces, to deconstruct, deconstruct ma, deconstruct sankara. Sankaras are constructions that we make in the mind. And the constructions are a filter, masanen, between us and the world. And this is what Susanna was talking about. I don't want the filter, hamasanen. I don't want the screen between me and the world, called about, al. Zekacha v'zekacha. There's like this and like that, and like this and like that, and that is this and this is that, and that is the name of the disease, and this is the description of the disease, and this is the book I have to read about this, and 100 scientific papers I need to read about this. So it makes a distance between me and the world, this knowing. And before you jump and say, but I need to know things. I mean, how do I go to school? How do I go to university? I mean, I need, you mean to say that I have to be like the Beatles song, The Fool on the Hill. Mm-hmm. Knowing nothing, the sun going round, that's it. So no doctorate, no sign, no death. So I'm going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about it now. But just for the understanding, we're talking here about a deeper knowledge, and which needs forgetting. And I want to quote very specifically Krishnamurti, who says, to see completely, the brain has to be in a state of negation. Negation is forgetting. Negation means wiping out. Limchok. Mechika. Lo. That's negation. Negation is not the opposite of the positives. All opposites are related within each other. Negation has no opposite. The brain has to be in a state of negation of lo, of lo ze, in order to see completely. The brain mustn't interfere, mafriya, with its evaluations, medidot, and justifications, with its defenses and its criticism, bikoritiyot. It has to be still. Not made still by force, for then it is a dead brain. It's just conforming. When it is in a state of negation, the brain is quiet without choice. Only then is there total seeing. In this total seeing, which is the quality of the mind, there is no seer and no observer and no experience. There is just seeing. And then the mind is completely awake. In this fully awakened state, there is no observer and the observed. There is only light and clarity. Behirut. The conflict between the thinker and the thought stops. Meditation is, in a way, forgetting, a learning way of knowing which is forgetting the constructions. It's another way of knowing, and it is able to help us reduce the dependence on knowledge, hatlut. We just experience the moment as it is, the breath as it comes and goes, the body as it is, the sounds as they touch the ear, the thoughts as they pass by. The experience is not knowledge. Meditation is a way of learning to experience fully just things just as they are and deconstruct this dependence, tlut, on I need to know something. I need to know. Chayav ladav. Haganatiyut betoch. Pachadim she'ani chayav ladav. So it's meditation itself is freeing us from this. It's a form of forgetting, or vidya, which is knowledge of another kind. Deep, you could call it deep knowing.
Vidya.
Avidya is not knowing, is borut. Avidya is not knowing, is borut. Vidya is deeper knowing, from which we still got the word yeda, which has become ordinary knowing. It's a balagan shel amilim. About vidya, but Sanskrit, ze chokhmah. Below Yeda. I got, there's a beautiful book that which is The Teacher of Nisargadatta Maharaj. The teacher of Nisargadatta is non-dual teacher, Maheshwar is called, and he writes quite a bit about I've got a lot to read here, but I don't know in English. Maybe I'll read a little bit. How can one practice seeing what is What is there to think about existence, kiyum, which is already here? It is called the self-evident, means it's obvious that existence is here and no effort is needed. You cannot forget existence even if you try. That which you feel you are forgetting is not you, it is other. The world, the constructions. Whatever is remembered is going to be forgotten. Remembering and forgetting happen about something else, not you. You are not the object of memory, and you are also not the object of forgetting. These things, remembering and forgetting, only take place in consciousness. And you are you, the deeper you are, ta, amok, being, havaya, doesn't need remembering or forgetting. What is it, awareness, which doesn't have any object or any idea? There is a little distance between an object and the mind. That small space, although we don't really understand it, it's as if it were not seen, and we don't really know it, therefore we have no knowledge of that space. But this space is knowledge itself, is just knowing with no object. It cannot become the object of its own knowledge. Knowing cannot be the object of its own knowledge. You cannot know knowing. In this, maybe I'm confusing everybody, never mind.
Totally.
Okay, I'll say what he says, for example. Look, I'll give you an example which I think would help. He says, if you look at the moon, ordinary knowledge would say, I am here, there is a moon out there, it's a thing that we know, it is not me, it's there, and I recognize it as a moon. What is the space of knowing which is between you and the moon? But which is between you and the moon? Which is not you and not the moon? What's the space of knowing which is neither you nor the moon? That's what he's asking. For that, you have to forget the you and forget the moon. The moon is not interesting, you are not interesting, what's interesting is a deeper knowing which you might call awareness. I leave that, I don't want to go into it too much, it can get very confusing. But let me talk about it in a simpler way. When you talk about vidya as wisdom, what's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Wisdom is the use of consciousness that for the purposes of freedom. If we use our consciousness for freedom, for liberation, we're in the realm of vidya, of deeper knowing, of awareness. If we use our consciousness just to add more knowledge, we're in the realm of avidya, meaning ignorance, or surviving and collecting knowledge, which doesn't help us. So, in the Dharma sense, knowledge has to be have a purpose, and the purpose is freedom, liberation, awakening. Knowledge has to have the purpose of awakening, and then it's worth it. And then it's vidya and not avidya. It's real knowing. It's awareness. It's wisdom. Chokhmah bina. The knowledge that transforms is the knowledge that's worth it. And it's expanded. It's a knowledge that's bigger than the small knowledge called recognition, hagdarot, names. It's a knowledge that's balanced. It has in it heart, it has in it mind, it's a balance, it's left brain, right brain, it's not just left brain, it's also right brain. It's a knowledge which is in the present. It's not past or future, it's not about things, it is the thing, it is itself. It's not about something else. It is. Knowledge is being. It's about being aware or being awake or being with the bee and the flower in your picture. It's non-verbal. It's not conceptual knowledge. Eloham Saga. Very often, this knowledge is called intuition, but it actually is much, much bigger than intuition. Intuition is like a little window into this knowledge. We sometimes, people say, meditatia noten lanu intuitia, yote intuitia, ze intuitia, ze suk shel yeda lomdim intuitia, ze lo kacha. Intuitia ze totsa'a shel yidia yishira, yidia, direct knowledge, direct knowing, deeper knowing, but the consciousness being much bigger, then intuition is easier. But it's only one slice, prusai chad, of a deeper awareness. The awareness that sees the flower and the bee fully, or the breath, or the being, the awareness that is not, that is being, havaya, is much more in touch with everything. And therefore, intuition is easy. Intuitia is chelek. Is a part of it. But the whole of this wisdom is not the same as intuition. Intuition is part of it. Is a section. Intuition is the immediate. Is something that's fast and comes from somewhere else. Keilu. Also, intuition is not conceptual. Bliham saga. Not non-conceptual. But it's only one of the aspects of wisdom. And this knowledge, this knowing, it doesn't sort of need us. It's not just about me and what I know. This same knowledge is in the world, is part of everything. It's a sense, the knowledge that helps us see ourselves as being part of everything and everything being part of us. It takes down the barriers between us and the world. And it's a knowing that is connecting us to the world and not separating us from the world. And again, the example of Susanna was separation. We know about, so we separate. And we look from Ki'ilu Mi'atzad, from the side, at something. Say, I know that. I know this. It's withdrawing. It's making a gap between us and something. But the knowing that frees and the knowing that is vidya or wisdom is the knowing that connects. שמתחבר אותנו לעולם כהבנה שאנחנו חלק מהיקום, היקום בתוכנו ואנחנו בתוך היקום. I want to read a bit of poem of Wordsworth, which talks about this, that the knowing is not only just in him, it's in the sky. He says, I have felt a presence that disturbs me with joy of elevated thoughts, a sense sublime of something far more deeply interfused, means interconnected, whose dwelling is the light of setting suns, and the round ocean, and the living air, and the blue sky, and in the mind of man, a motion and a spirit that impels, that moves all thinking things, all objects of all thought, and rolls through all things. I don't know if you understood that English, but he's talking about presence, nochut, or chi, or being, havaya, and just says it's rolling. The being is rolling through the mind of man and the sun and the sky. So that our mind is a result, not a source, but a tota'a of this being, presence. And it's also loving, of course, cannot be without love. This is love. Our being with, deeply connecting is love. And compassion. Because when we're not in the world of constructions, mivnim, or habit of constructing and of distance, then by itself love appears. We are loving the world because we're part of it. Yeah, we.
She's here.
I know. Rachel is going to come. Yeah. But let me just finish. I've nearly finished the talk. So I want to go back to the question then, in that case, are we all going to be like the Beatles song, The Fool on the Hill? Like, what is a fool on the hill, actually? Like the John Lennon singing The Fool on the Hill? Is he an idiot? Which is, he's got vidya, meaning a wisdom mind, but forgotten everything. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know himself. He's just a fool. Like a Zen fool that's looking up at the stars. And clearly the Buddha wasn't one of those. You can never say the Buddha was a fool on the hill. Talking 10,000 suttas. So what kind of knowledge did he have that wasn't avidya or small knowledge with a small... And the answer is that a knowledge which is based on a knowledge that transforms, a knowledge that is based on existence and not on commenting on existence, or not about existence, but is the knowledge that is existence isn't threatened anymore by distinctions, havchanot. So the Buddha was able to make lists, the seven factors of awakening, the Eightfold Noble Path, the Four Noble Truths. It doesn't matter. It has no problem. Because it appears spontaneously as the left brain, if you like, in the whole totality. And therefore it's no problem anymore. So knowledge, and I found that personally, I was still until recently, or until today actually, still reading science papers, I'm writing a bit here and there. Science is for me like woodwork, nagarut. That's all. It's a way of doing, a way of knowing. There's no problem with a knowledge, actually, small knowledge, if we're not depending on it through our fear that if we don't have that knowledge, we're lost. But if we have a big connection with existence, then there's no problem with the Rishimot. If I don't do Rishimot sometimes at the beginning of the day, I don't know how to do my day. I went to, when I was in Amaravati, Ajahn Amaro, and I had a 2-hour talk with him, and I had a look on his desk, and he had like 100 things he had to do that day. And he wrote it all the lists. But there's no problem. He was in the space of a non-dual space, which you'd call forgetting. And yet, there were the lists of what he had to do today. Doesn't matter. It doesn't disturb. It's just functional. There's no problem. The mind can handle that. The left brain has no problem if it just functions. You can't work without it. You need it. It's fine. Actually, I wrote a lot of books, and sometimes I'm on retreat and I'm writing while on retreat. It's always better, more exact, meduyak, and doesn't need any changes because I'm on retreat. It's funny how it works, but the details, they're not important. It feels like it's a different feeling, this knowledge, ordinary knowledge from a ground of being doesn't feel heavy, and it doesn't feel pressure, and it doesn't have fear in it, and it doesn't have pressure to know the world and know what's going to happen, otherwise there's a problem. It doesn't have a price. It's rather spontaneous. Now I need to know something exact. It's spontaneous. You don't pay a price for it. Because the being is the ground, and from there comes a high spiritual thought, or a thought like, I must make sure I don't burn the rice. In my meeting with spiritual teachers, it's always like that. When I sit with spiritual teachers, in all the years, there is a difference. They can talk about the highest, most delicate, subtle things, and then the price of rice in the marketplace, or it doesn't matter. Same. It's not important. Not a problem. So there's much more freedom, even to be with the details. Hapratim, they don't threaten anymore if the ground of being is big enough to hold them and to give them space. And from that space can come a list of things to do today, or can come the most subtle states, understanding or wisdom, or crazy wisdom. And then we can laugh and play and both. And dance with both kinds of knowledge. There's no one, neither of them is a problem. Thank you.